Okay, folks, welcome back to Voice of Reason Radio. I'm Chris Honholtz, your one of two co-hosts. I'm here with my good buddy Rich Story. How you doing this week, Rich?
Brother, I'm very blessed and way beyond better than anything I should deserve on earth. How about yourself?
You know what? I think I gotta echo that. You know, it's funny. I know you and I were talking pre-show. It's real easy to forget just how blessed we are. We get sidetracked, we get distracted, we don't do the things that we ought to do. But even in all that, you're a huge, the Lord is blessing the both of us and just providing for us far more than we deserve. So that's just a blessing. And I'm grateful to God for what He does for us each week. But so what's been going on with you this week, brother?
Amen, brother, to everything that you just said. Actually, I've had a pretty slow, quiet week. I was blessed to get caught in a Twitter conversation over the weekend that led me to do some deeper reading and studying on some aspects of Genesis with Adam and Eve, and actually learned a good bit from that. How about yourself?
I had a typical busy work week and plenty of things to keep me going, and had a fun weekend, and I'm grateful because my job allows me typically to have 3 day weekends because I work 4 10-hour shifts. But because of the holiday this weekend, Memorial Day, I actually get to spend 4 days with family, so that's a blessing. And I actually got to visit some family in Roseville, California this weekend too. It was kind of a last minute thing, so that was a big blessing.
Yeah, I heard it was not a typical visit. I believe the infamous Captain America made an appearance during this weekend, didn't he?
Yes, he did. My nephew, Jackson, is just had his 5th birthday party this weekend, and my sister happened to see the costume that I had put together for the Comic-Con we talked about last week, and she made a comment about she, wished we were a little bit closer because he's just become a big fan of Captain America, and what a neat thing it would be for him to be able to be at the party. And I'm like, I looked at my wife, I'm all, we're 2.5 hours away. How do I say no to my 5-year-old nephew, who's a huge fan of Captain America now? And thankfully, apparently, he doesn't know that Marvel, you little stinkers, is trying to make Captain America into, this Nazi. He's been a sleeper agent all this time. Like, goodness gracious, anything for a buck. Oh man. All right, the thing here's what scares me even more. I just saw today the guy who's penning this particular storyline is like getting death threats. Okay, look, I'm a geek of the worst sort. I made my own costume, for crying out loud. But folks, if you're threatening a guy who writes a comic book for a living, get a life. Okay? Just don't buy the comic book. Trust me, if they don't make any money, they'll go to another storyline.
Ain't
It's
that the truth?
how it goes. But yeah, so it was really neat because when I walked in the door, the look on his face, I mean, he just stopped dead. He just stared at me. And he promptly introduced me to the entire family. I mean, he's all Captain America. This is my brother. This is my mom. This is my other brother. This is my dad. Hey guys, this is Captain America.
Brother, that is actually very precious. I think that was a very, very sweet gesture on your part, especially given the fact that it was a 2.5 hour drive and you and your family did that for your nephew. I think that is just about the sweetest thing I've heard in a long time. And no joking and no kidding aside, just the fact that you'd be willing to go through and do that for your nephew, I think that's just great.
Well, I think for me that's one of the reasons that doing something like this is so enjoyable. Yes, I'm a big geek. I mean, there's no question about it. I mean, I spent money on making a shield and a costume, and it's not like I'm being paid to do this. But the most entertaining aspect of it is watching the
Excuse me.
kids smile when you walk up. I saw it this weekend, and I saw it with the last time we went to the Comic-Con, and it just gives the kids something that is so enjoyable because they see somebody that they collect the comic books on, or they watch the movies or the cartoon, and now this person, in a sense, is in front of them. And for them, that's real. It doesn't matter how cheesy the costume looks. So it was just so much fun and so much entertainment. But folks, that's why we are a day behind, by the way. Rich was very kind to push this to Sunday night with me so that I could go do that and spend time down in Roseville with my nephew and my sister, who I really don't get to see nearly often enough despite the short distance. So that was a blessing. Thank you folks for being patient with us and giving us just an extra day waiting to do this. Probably more often than not, it looks like Saturdays are going to be the days that we record this. Some of the commitments that I have with my family and stuff tend to fall on Friday nights. I would like more often than not to record them on Fridays because having you guys try to remember that late Saturday night, Sunday morning, this podcast is up and you're getting ready for church or you're prepping for the day tomorrow. I would like more often than not to try and do them on Fridays, but I think Saturdays may happen more often just because of circumstances. But it will probably be more often Friday or Saturday. Rich, you're in agreement with me on that, right?
Oh, yeah. And we may even look at the possibility of recording on the weekend and possibly setting a like a Monday morning or something, and just have it set to where it auto posts
Right.
that same day of the week. It's just a few aspects we still need to look into. But I do have one special announcement I'd like to make.
Oh, we do. Okay.
I do. Since you love putting smiles on children's faces so much, I think I'm gonna make this announcement and see where it goes. If you live in the Nevada area and you would like to have Captain America appear at your child's birthday party or some other special event or special occasion, get in contact with Chris Honholtz, and I'm sure he can work out, negotiate a rate. I'm thinking like $25 an hour, and perhaps maybe he'd be generous enough to donate about 25% of that back to the radio show. So I've done my part in making the announcement. So, and speaking of which, Chris, how can people get in touch with us for the radio show, or if they want to book you for an event?
I'm almost afraid to give it out now because you know what? We've had very few people contact us, which is fine. I'm not complaining about that at all. But now you've put this out there, and all those guys who razz me, there's going to be this flood of emails. So thank you because we're going to have this mass influx of emails requesting for party invites. Thank you, Rich. This is going to be fun.
I'm here to help.
All right. But in all seriousness, oh boy, I'm almost afraid to do this. In all seriousness, if you want to get in touch with us here at the program, we do have an email address. It is voiceofreasonradio@gmail.com, voiceofreasonradio@gmail.com. You can find us there. You can send in critiques. You can send in kudos. You can send in questions. You can send in show ideas. Please, we want to hear from you. We're still working the bugs out on this. I just discovered last week after I kind of listened to part of the show that when I recorded this in stereo, it had me in one speaker and Rich in the other speaker. So if you had a little cognitive dissonance going on, that's because I don't know what I'm doing when I record this stuff, apparently. So I'm trying a different technique this week. But we can't know how it sounds to you. We can't know if it's being a blessing to you or if you're gnashing your teeth at us if we don't hear from you. So please contact us there. You can also find us on podbean.com. That's where you will find the actual program, Voice of Reason Radio. We also have a blog page that's slavetothe.king.wordpress.com. Rich and I are getting a little slow getting back into the writing thing. We've both kind of been hit and miss for a little bit, hoping to do that a little bit more. We are on Facebook and Twitter, Voice of Reason Radio. You can find us both there. You can find the links to all of that on the Slave to the King www.wordpress.com website. We are self-funding this. We're not asking for any money. We're not asking you to support us in any way. We're just trying to make use of the resources that are available to us, and we just want your input. We want to hear from you because we want to know whether we're being a blessing or whether the stuff we're doing is having any issues for you. So please let us know. We appreciate your time. Rich, we're about 10 minutes into this already, and I want to really pick up where we left off last week. If you guys did not listen last week, I'm going to recap this in about 30 seconds for you. We are talking about the issues that are going on in our culture with regards to Target boycotting transgender bathrooms and what a Christian is supposed to do. Primarily what we're looking at is Target announced, hey, publicly, we're going to say bathrooms and changing areas, stuff like that, they're open to anybody who says whether they're man or woman. We're not going to make you prove it. You just go in and do what you want. I think people who have shown some good wisdom have said this is a problem, not necessarily because transgender people in and of themselves are a safety risk, although some have done things that are criminal and dangerous in nature, not all, some, but it opens the door to anyone who would want to use this as an excuse to get into a woman's restroom or a child's restroom or a dressing room because they now, quote, identify as something other than they really are, and it puts the safety of women and children at risk. And so people have said, this is wrong, Target, you need to stop doing this. Target basically thumbed their nose back and said, don't care, going to do it anyway. The result was, the response in America was, we're going to boycott you. We're no longer going to shop there, and we're going to stop shopping there until such a time as you've absorbed such a financial hit that you understand you have to do what we want you to do. And that's what's been going on. I think we talked about it last week. There was at least 1 million signatures that had been sent to Target. Target basically said, thank you, but we're still not changing our policy. And now the last I heard, they were shooting for 2 million. What we went into last week, and Rich, I think you did a great job expanding on, was how non-harassment policies within the corporate world will quite possibly be the mechanism by which Christians will experience a form of corporate persecution, setting it up to where if you cannot toe the line, so to speak, in this new worldview, in this new, quote, inclusive, tolerant agenda, if you can't be that way, the precedent could easily be set that you will represent a risk to the company. Therefore, because of your worldview, because you're not inclusive, we're not going to hire you. I think that's probably a good, quick way to encapsulate that, would you say?
Yeah, and to expand on that just very briefly, the Voice of Reason, Facebook and Twitter shared a article today that originally was sent out by Phil Johnson about some new laws that are being passed in New York City, I think it was, in regards to transgenderism and prohibiting, basically making it against the law to harass them based on being a transgender, down to the point to where if a Sam wanted to be called Susan and you refused to call him Susan and you called him Sam, you could be prosecuted. So it all kind of links back together. Like I said, the feed shared that article, and it was originally posted by Phil Johnson. So if you follow Phil Johnson on Twitter, or if you follow Voice of Reason, you can go back and find that article if you'd like to read the details of it.
Yeah, and I honestly, just to kind of put a bow on what we're saying for last week, this is the new mindset. This is the groupthink that we now exist in. I think it was Dr. James White who said, if you've not read 1984, you need to go back and read George Orwell's 1984. And I listened to an audiobook a couple years back, and it was a major eye opener for me. And I'm not bringing this up for political reasons, but to help you see what's going on, because in that book, one of the things they talk about is the eradication of language as it was known. They wanted to condense the words and take out all what they felt were the superfluous stuff that wasn't necessary. And what ends up happening as a result is one of the characters says it's a beautiful thing, the destruction of words. And that's what we're seeing in this culture. When you dismantle language and you control what the words mean, it's now possible to criminalize speech. As what Richard's just you're just pointing out with that article, we're going to criminalize speech by saying a refusal to acknowledge a person's self-identification, the delusion that they are something other than what they really are, is now criminal, despite the fact that we have the First Amendment, which says you have a right to free speech. Look, in the country that we live in, if you want to be a complete racist, sexist knucklehead, you have the right to do that under the Constitution. You can spout hateful things. That's what the Constitution protects you from, so that you can do. But with the redefinition of words, with the ability to say, saying something like, no, you're not a man, you're not a woman, you're a man, or you're not a man, you're a woman, is considered so dangerous to the mental state of the person who's having to hear that, it is equated to the concept of you're shouting fire in a crowded theater, which was the one limitation actually put on the freedom of speech according to the Supreme Court. So what we're saying is, as Christians, when we stand upon the Word of God and we say, this is what is true, we are falling into that realm of there, you're looking at criminalization, corporate style persecution by denial of work, by lawsuits, etc. That's where we're headed. Okay, that's where we're headed. Now, that's not to be about terrifying ourselves. That's not to have delusions of grandeur regarding persecution or whatever somebody wants to call it. It's to say, this is the reality, and what are we doing about it in the context in which we exist? And what we were talking about last week and what we want to now discuss is how it is being dealt with. And that is with regard to Target specifically, it is the boycott issue. Target has said, if you self-identify as either male or female, regardless of your genetic makeup, regardless of whether you have mutilated your body or not, whether you retain your original parts or you've removed or added to that, we are going to allow you to use whatever facilities you self-identify as, and we're not going to allow anyone to say otherwise. That's what's happening. And so the result is people are saying that represents a risk to public safety. I tend to agree. I think there's wisdom there. And so we don't want you to do it anymore. Target doesn't care. So Target gets a boycott. And reportedly, and Rich, I'll let you touch on this briefly, but reportedly that's affecting the bottom line for Target. And on the surface, that sounds like a good idea. I made a joke earlier. Look, if you don't like that Captain America is being made into a Nazi, don't buy the magazine. If Marvel doesn't sell it, it gets scrapped and they start over. So on the surface, that sounds like a logical progression. But Rich, you were telling me in the pre-show, there's actually a question about whether or not this is actually as effective as what some people are reporting, right?
Right, and it really depends on the way that you look at their overall corporate earnings and their revenue. Historically, this time of the year is the lowest part of the season for retailers, and I don't know how much our listeners know about business and the way the corporate earnings and all that, and I'm not going to get into all of that right now. But basically, right now, for corporations, they're into their second quarter of earnings. Most of the earnings now, well, let me make it a little simpler. During the Christmas season, of course, is retailers' greatest time of the year. That's called their black season, because those 3 months they make up and they make their money in those 3 months versus all the rest of the year. And depending on the people that are saying that Target's lost X billion of dollars, if they're comparing their revenue from the last quarter of last year compared to the first quarter of this year, yes, on paper they would have lost that much money, but it's not like they actually lost it out of their pocket. Their revenue is down. But looking across the board, and I looked at Forbes, Fortune, MSN Money, and several other sites that report and keep up with all of the financial trends, Target is really doing about average, and they're right in keeping with the earnings of all the other wholesale retailers that are in their same category. So it really depends if you're comparing apples to apples or beans to oranges. I mean,
yeah,
you can look at these numbers and twist and configure them any way you want. Overall, the stockholders are pleased with the last quarter's earnings, and they were just barely off track of what they had projected of themselves being. And the only way to know for sure about the effectiveness of this particular boycott will not be known until later on in the year when they're getting their more accurate accounting numbers for this particular quarter.
Right. And the issue is, we're not talking about whether we do boycotts out of effectiveness, but as if we're going to discuss the issue, we got to at least touch on the fact there's a practical side to this. And when we see the initial numbers, we go, ooh, look at that. Look how effective that is. There's a lot more to it than just looking at what the headlines showed yesterday or today or tomorrow. The other side of it is, and Rich, I think you and I probably would agree with this too. There's no question when Target made this particular announcement, they knew what was going to happen. It's not like they're surprised by the backlash. This is a hotly contested issue, and Target took the lead, so they're going to take the first punches in the gut. They knew this was coming, and my opinion of it is Target is prepared to weather this particular storm. This wasn't a decision made arbitrarily one day. Gee, we feel like pleasing the transgenders today. Let's just do that and hope it all works out. You don't make big decisions like this without being prepared for what's to come. And in our current day and age, we have the attention span of a gnat. I mean, it doesn't take long for us to change from one issue to get upset about to the next. And we saw that, for example, with the Planned Parenthood sting videos, which showed without any question. I mean, you literally have to be willfully ignorant. You have to be dumb on purpose to deny that Planned Parenthood was selling baby remains for supposed research companies, and they were making a profit in doing so. It takes leaps of logic to deny that. And yet, what have we heard about it today? Virtually nothing. The only issue now is that they're still trying to prosecute the guy that made the videos. So it's not beyond possibility that Target has looked at this and went, we'll bypass this when the next major issue comes up. And now we're starting to hear of other stores. I think it was Ross recently that had an incident, had an issue with regarding this. We know Planet Fitness did this a while back. They didn't make a huge announcement about it, but it hit the news when a gal basically lost her membership for complaining about a man being in the women's dressing room. These businesses are starting to pick up steam, and they're going to start coming in. And so I believe that Target entered into this prepared to weather the storm, knowing that with enough press, more corporations would start to, quote, toe the line in the tolerance realm. So there's going to be another question, pragmatically speaking, and that's not how we're going to evaluate this, but pragmatically speaking, is it even going to matter in the long run when every other business starts to go, we're jumping on board? Would you agree, Rich?
I'd agree, and I still have to wonder, just like you pointed out, this wasn't just a whim, spur of the moment. Their board of directors knew, their stockholders knew, everyone that had a vote in Target doing this as a corporation and it being corporate policy had some type of involvement or a knowledge of what was going on. I'm still curious to wait and see where it's headed from their perspective as to why they did this. Whether it been for free publicity, which they've getting blasted, everybody's talking about Target, but not even just that. I mean, a lot of these big major chain retailers sponsor other events, and they sponsor, movies and all these other things. And, it's hard for me to believe that someone that they're a major sponsor of or is sponsoring them is not also aware. But I did catch one snippet in an article, and if anyone can come across it, I would ask that they please send it to me, because I cannot find where I saved the link, but it was talking about Target possibly coming out with a line of clothing geared strictly towards transgenders. Basically, women-style clothing made to fit men. Yeah. And that was something projected like later on this year. It was a snippet of an article, and like I said, I can't find the link. So if somebody runs across it, I ask, please send us the link, because I'd really like to have been able to share that article. But
yeah.
Yes, I agree with what you were saying, brother.
Okay, and you know, and I that doesn't surprise me at all. I mean, it was Target not long ago that decided to take all the signs down that differentiated between boys and girls' toys. I mean, Target's had an agenda, and they're working it piece by piece. But the reason we're, like I said, we're not discussing the pragmatic side of it because that's how we decide how to do things. We're going to talk about how we should approach this issue. But we want to put that out there because I think as Christians, we get involved in these things on social media and we see numbers and we go, ooh, look at that, it's working. And so we don't think the issue's through. We're just as prone to anybody else to headline, kind of hypnosis. We see it, we go, wow, it works, let's keep going, and we don't give it much more thought. And that's a cultural issue in America in and of itself. That's not to insult our brethren, but, you know, and we've got some very smart brethren out there, but it's easy when you see the news feed articles and you're just slipping through Twitter or Facebook to not stop and really take time like Rich did to look at things like corporate earnings spreadsheets and go, wow, okay, there's an issue that actually feeds into this, and maybe we need to take another view of it. So just something for consideration. Slow down and let's be sure that what we're claiming, if that quote it's working, is actually doing that. So that being said, put that issue being put aside, what we want to talk about is how Christians approach this issue, because when this came up and somebody said we need to boycott Target, a lot of Christians and Christians I respect jumped on board and signed the agreement not to shop there. And I'll tell you right now, though I've not gone to the trouble of, you know, filing my signature on a boycott form, I'm not shopping at Target. I have a wife. I don't want her in the same dressing room as somebody who's a male saying that he's a female. I don't want her having to use the restroom there, potentially at risk with someone who is using this as a ruse so that he can do harm or he can film her or something like that. It when a company goes public like that and opens the doors for such sinful, unregenerate people to use as a means to harm my wife, I'm not going to shop there. I don't want to give them my business if my wife's safety is at risk. So I agree in premise that there is a problem here, and I believe as an individual, as a Christian, I have a right to decide where I'm going to spend my money. So neither Rich or I, and I think, Rich, you have a slightly different perspective than I do on this, neither Rich or I are saying you need to go shop at Target. So if anybody hears anything that we say out of the next half hour as we're talking, that you say go support Target even though they're supporting this issue, you've not heard us correctly. I want to put that out there right now. Neither of us are telling you how to spend your money or where to spend your money or who to partner with or how that you should offend your conscience or any of these issues. What we're wanting to do is examine the issue itself of a public boycott, which says we want to bankrupt you as a company unless you do things our way, and examine whether that's a biblical premise. Okay. Now, we've talked about last week, we're seeing this as heading in the direction of assaulting the Christian worldview. There's no question about this. You are talking about people who are intolerant of the Christian worldview. Why? Because they say, well, you're intolerant. You're not inclusive enough. You don't want people to feel good about themselves. You want to tell them that what they're doing is bad. So therefore, we want to exclude you. For tolerant people, they're some of the most intolerant around. And this is a push and an assault on the Christian worldview. You've heard in the past, you can have your religion, just don't push it on me. Now it's, no, you can't even allow your Christian worldview into the public arena. Okay, so there's little question that these are the first cracks in the of the facade of what was once considered a Christian nation. It's the cracks are coming apart, and we're seeing the push to eradicate that. No question. Rich, you agree with that, you know, that premise?
I agree 100%, brother. Keep going.
So no question that so when we're talking about this, we understand we're not delusional. We get where this is headed. Okay? This is another step in the direction of a persecution of the Christian faith, because Christians are going to be the most vocal. Okay? So what is a boycott? Not a choice not to shop at a store, okay? You know, I go back to my joke earlier about the Captain America comic book. I told people, look, if you don't like the storyline, which I don't buy the comic book. It affects their sales, and they'll change it because they have to make money. I'm not suggesting in any way, shape, or form boycott Marvel over this issue. Okay, boycott would be let the entire company of Marvel Comics watch their stock dip massively because we need them to change their perspective on something. So a boycott is an official open, for what we're going to – let me define what I'm saying. For what our discussion is here tonight, as we're defining boycott, we're talking about this public manifestation, this public outcry, this public push to say such and such company, you're not doing what we want you to do. You need to stop doing it, and you're going to need to do things the way we want them, or the end result is none of us will shop there ever again, and your stock's going to drop so badly that it's actually going to have an appreciable effect on your company to where you won't be able to do the things that you want. You won't make the profits that you want. It may affect how many stores you can open or maintain that open. It may affect how many employees you have. We want to have an appreciable financial impact on your company so that you understand our demands and that you need to do them our way. Rich, would that be a good definition for what we're talking about when we say boycott?
Yes, I think you hit the nail on the head. I think that is a very good, very good description and definition of a boycott. Now, and I'm assuming you're probably going here next, is that a Christian worldview or is that a secular worldview way of thinking when it comes to a boycott?
Well, and that, I think that's the big question. That really is the big question. Where does this particular mindset generate? And I have to say unequivocally in my perspective, and Rich, I'll leave it up to you to agree or disagree, this is not a biblical perspective, not in the way that we've defined boycott, okay? Not in the way we're seeing boycott being done, because boycott is us forcing a company by means of financial hardship to adopt a perspective that we agree with. Nowhere in Scripture do we see God advocating us to use this kind of, and I'll say force, on a person or a company or a group of people to achieve a biblical goal. When we look at what the Word of God tells us to do, we are talking about submission to government, for example, or authorities. We're talking about as much as it is possible to live peaceably with all men. We are to live our lives in humility, esteeming others as better than ourselves. Those are the things that the Word of God advocates. And it does not mean that we cannot use force when necessary. You know, some people have taken some of Jesus' commands, which talk about enduring insults such as a slap on the cheek or being forced to carry a pack for a mile, take it too. Those issues of insult, and they say, well, that means we need to be pacifist. We never fight and defend. No, it's not what that says. It was Christ himself who told the disciples, I told you before not to go out with anything. Well, now I'm telling you, when I sent you out two by two and to preach the gospel, now I'm telling you, take what you need, take an extra cloak, take a staff, take food. By the way, does anybody have a sword? And they say, we have two. That's enough. The sword was for defense. Okay. So there's nothing that says that we have to be pacifists. There's nothing that says we can never use force in any way. The question is, what is the biblical definition of when we should force something? Okay, and yes, I know, you know I'm gonna. If you're, anybody's gonna respond, they're gonna say, "Well, you're using force in a physical fashion versus you're talking about boycott." But what I'm saying is the principle behind this is that we are to be a people that when the world looks at us, they look at us and go, "You're different than the rest of us. You live respectfully. You're kind. You're loving." You're submissive. You don't you endure insult. You endure persecution. So if those are the things that when the world looks at us and they're supposed to see that because it's supposed to be reflective of our Savior, what does it say that when we essentially abandon those principles, those commands of God, and say we're now going to tell you, ABC Company, you must do as we say, or we will withhold any financial backing for you, so much so that we're going to join with any number of people, whether they are Christian or not, and we're going to put our names on a boycott form letter, and we're going to say, we refuse to shop here. You must bow to the will of the people. You must bow to our demands, or we will shut you down. Okay, what, Rich? Am I framing this right? That we are looking at, as Christians, we live lives of humility, meekness, quietness, kindness, lovingness. But does that to you sound like what we see being done today in the form of the boycott against Target?
Well, I may disagree with you slightly. Most of what you said, I do agree with. From another perspective, a boycott is a legal means of showing your objection to something that a company or your government is doing. It is a legal means that is provided. It's a way of expressing your dislike for a policy or something that they are doing. But I'd like to go a little bit deeper. For all of the signatures that they've got on this boycott, my first question is, okay, how many of those signatures are by professing Christians? Mm-hmm. Next, how many of those professing Christians signed a boycott that never shopped at Target to begin with? And for each one of those that signed that boycott petition that never shopped at Target anyway, they're being hypocritical because they were not going there anyway. And then the next part is, okay, I'm a Christian. I'm going to join and boycott Target. The next question is, how do you conduct yourself during that boycott? And there's people I love dearly that when all of this started, that were talking about wishing Target a happy bankruptcy and wording like that. That is not living as Christ has commanded us. Yes, we can use these legal means to show our objection or to show our disapproval, but even during the course of that, we have to conduct ourselves as Christians. We cannot say, do, or act like the world. And I think a better response to just signing your name on a piece of paper saying, I'm not going to shop there anymore, I think a better response for Christians would be to be sending letters, sharing the gospel to these board of directors, sharing the gospel to the leadership of a company like Target. Because even if you bankrupt Target tomorrow, you've not changed anything. You've not changed anybody's heart. There's been nothing done for the ones that was the head of that company or corporation. They'll just start another one and the cycle, you know, begins again. I think the Christian answer to all of this, you know, if you want to express your dislike and you don't agree and you want to sign this piece of paper and say, I'm not going to shop there anymore, that's your choice. You know, that's your right. But as a Christian, you still have to conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of your calling. And I still think the best response any Christian could give to any company, to any corporation, to any state or local government is share the gospel with the people that make these decisions. Because by far, you know, I don't know how many employees Target has, but there's probably untold numbers that don't agree with the policy to begin with. You know, I don't know how many of those are Christians that are working there because either they can't find another job or they've got a wife and kids at home they've got to feed. You know, wishing a company like this a happy bankruptcy, you're projecting hatred, which is going on another level, is going to affect a brother or a sister in Christ. And I think before you jump on a boycott bandwagon, you need to think deeper and go below the surface and ask yourself, okay, you know, what do I want to see accomplished by this boycott? Do I want to see them change their policy, or do I want to share the gospel and see their hearts changed? You know, or do I just want to see them go out of business? I mean, it's deeper things that we need to consider. And we also need to consider, okay, I'm going to just say if my stance was, okay, I'm going to boycott Target. I'm going to sign this boycott. Okay, all right. Is it going to cost me anything by doing that? I mean, am I going to have to drive farther to do my shopping? Am I going to have to go to another place and spend more money? Are you willing to let that boycott cost you anything to participate in it, or is it a matter of I just sign my name on this piece of paper and I'll just go to this department store next door, which, you know, basically is meaningless? And I know a million signatures sounds like a lot, but with the number of stores that Target has, unless those are a million shoppers that spend $100, $200 a month there, that's not even a dime in a bucket, you know, compared to their total revenue. You really need to look at these deeper. And one other thing real quick is, okay, do I stop with the boycott at Target, or do I also boycott anything that Target supports? Do I boycott what Target promotes? Do I boycott this movie that Target is a major, major sponsor of? I mean, you know, how far down are you willing to take this, and, you know, how far are you willing to go with it?
Yeah, absolutely. And like we said at the beginning, this is not to suggest that any Christian should not exercise their rights as a citizen within the United States, as the freedoms that we have as Christians to do, you know, to have certain liberties. It's not to suggest that we have to, in turn, well, we're not going to commit to any kind of boycott. We're just going to partner with whoever they are, even if what they do violates my conscience. Not suggesting that at all. You know, there are plenty of people, for example, plenty of Christians who will not shop at, or excuse me, not shop, but purchase coffee from Starbucks because they are unapologetically in support of Planned Parenthood and the abortion the abortions they provide. And that's, you know, that's a serious conscience issue. If you feel that you cannot in any way support a company that's so unapologetic about abortion, then by all means, do not go to Starbucks. Do not give them the $5 for over a price put cup of coffee, and you know, continue to further what they do. That is your right. And Rich, I would agree with you at that level. That is the right of every Christian to say, I'm not going to support these people. What we're talking about, and I think you've hit that and even took it, you know, further down the road, is what is the motivation and what is my commitment? What is my commitment ultimately to? And that's what I think we want to address, is this idea, you know, look, is there any one of us that hasn't looked at the bakeries across the country that have been essentially assaulted by LGBT activist groups purposely? We know purposely have gone out of their way to find a Christian baker to say, make a cake for our wedding. The baker says, I can't, I'm a Christian, this would violate my conscience. I will happily find you a person who can help you with this. I will happily provide you with, you know, stuff for other things. I just can't participate in the wedding. And scream bloody murder that they're being discriminated against, and have these folks shut down, have massive fines levied against them, have literally re-education classes that they have to go to, monitored by the state. We see that happen. And we go, how dare you? How dare you tell these people how to operate their business? But then when Target comes along and does what I do believe and I agree with is a safety issue, we go, Target, how dare you do this? We are going to massively assault you. We're going to shame you publicly. That sounds familiar. Uh-oh. We're using the same tactic. Maybe we're not as vile. Maybe we're nicer about it. But ultimately, what we're saying is we want to see Target as a company. If we say, like you were pointing at, Rich, happy bankruptcy, what we're saying is we want you to shut down. We want you to lose business so badly that people get laid off and we companies can't keep their stores open. Isn't that the exact same worldly attitude that we're seeing from the LGBT activist groups against Christian bakers or photographers or wedding planners? It's the same behavior. But Rich, you nailed it on the head. What's the motivation? If you're going to be a part of this, what do you really care about? What do you really want to see happen? And I think there is something, when we go back to the book of Romans chapter 12, that I think speaks explicitly to what you were saying just a few minutes ago, Rich. And it starts in verse 14. Paul writes to the Romans, "Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, as so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink, for by doing so you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." Rich, you said something I think is just absolutely spectacular. What are we looking at when we're looking at a company that says we're going to publicly endorse something that is immoral, unethical, it is sinful, it actually promotes mental delusion? What we see this going on and we go, there's a problem here. There's something busted in their thinking. And what do we want more? Do we just want Target to either go bankrupt or to, go back to a policy that we really want, we really feel is smarter and wiser? Or do we care enough to say there's something wrong with the wiring and the thinking that says this is a good idea and we're going to publicly promote it? And Rich, you said it, you pointed it, I think, what Ephesians 6 says, which is we go to Ephesians 6 chapter, verse 12, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against authorities, against cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places." We are looking at a spiritual issue. And if we care about people, if we care about the Word of God as much, so much so that we want to publicly enter into this issue, does it make more sense to say we just want to shame you publicly and bankrupt you? Or do we say, you know what? We care about you so much. We see this public issue where you guys have gone way sideways and way against the Word of God. We know your souls are headed for judgment. So we're not going to publicly shame you. We're going to publicly proclaim Christ to you. I mean, Rich, doesn't that sound like something as a Christian that makes more sense, that rather than we're going to assault you with public shame and bankruptcy, we're going to come to you because we care about you and we're going to preach the gospel to you? What do you say about that?
I think you made an excellent point, and what it comes down to is, like you said, it is a spiritual battle. Just like if you're talking with the most obnoxious atheist or anyone else, I mean, it's a spiritual battle, and in this case, it's a spiritual battle with the heads of whoever makes all these policies at Target, and in the long run, it's not the CEOs and board of directors that would suffer even if a boycott was 100% successful, because all these guys and these men and women, they'll just go on to another company or corporation as a head. And, it's this minimum wage worker that's going to suffer. But unless we really are active and really get down to it, sharing the gospel
is really that ultimate answer to every problem in the United States. We need to be sharing the gospel, because we cannot change people's minds. We cannot change their hearts. It's all left in the power of God and the power of Christ to bring someone to salvation. And instead of, you know, acting like the world and getting in all these fusses and debates over boycott that we've seen, I propose a million mail march. Every Christian, I'd love to see a million Christians mailing a gospel tract or a gospel presentation to every head to target over the next 2 months. That would do more and go farther than any boycott or amount of money cut in their pockets, because you never know, even if the Lord chose to save one or two of the upper echelon of target, who knows where that could go.
Amen. Amen. And folks, we're not talking about preaching the gospel from a pragmatic perspective. I took a little bit of a hit from some brethren on this recently, and I want you to understand, when I said this, their response was theologically accurate. I'm not arguing with them at all. But I made the comment, much to what Rich and I are saying, is I made a comment of it, we spent so much time in recent history doing things like boycotts. If we could go back in time, and let's reverse the film for, let's say, 20 years, 30 years, 50 years, and started back then doing what the church should have done, might our current landscape be different? And I think we have to at least logically conclude it's possible. But obviously that's not going to happen. You know, we are in this current situation because it's God's will that we are where we are. God is sovereign. But I point that for that perspective, because what have we done for the last several decades? If we were to go back in time, as I was saying, and look at how the professing Christian church reacted to the foundational issues that got us here, I think we would be a little bit shocked at our complacency. Look, you go back 100 years and you talk about public school when it became compulsory, and there were people who were saying, parents, don't do this. Government shouldn't be doing school, you know, running the schools. But we went, oh, no. The government's helping take care of kids and get them educated. We're okay with that. They're going to teach them good stuff. And, you know, honestly, I struggle with some. And then that's kind of been the argument for the last 100 years. I don't think I could teach my kids. And compulsory attendance laws came into effect. And people started pulling their kids out and saying, we're going to homeschool. And parents who did that were mocked. And even still today, in some places, homeschooling has become a much bigger, you know, industry. And I kind of hate to use that word, but it really is. And because we recognize what's going on in the public school systems, but you go back decades and parents were trying to do this because they were trying to do what was right, and they were mocked. They were assaulted. They were told, how dare you take your Christian child out of the public school? How is there going to be a light in the, you know, a Christian light in the public school? Ignoring the fact that by leaving the children in the public school where they were being assaulted with secular thinking 5 days a week, and then on the weekend, we're trying to deprogram what they learned in Sunday school. You know, where was the Christian church then? We were accepting compulsory public education that now has borne the fruit of secularism and heathen paganism in our culture today. So where was that? Where was the Christian church when we started looking at things like self-esteem issues, looking at things like tolerance education, looking at things like postmodernist thinking that was starting to enter into our culture? Where was that 20 years ago, 30 years ago, when we were saying, bad idea, this is going to go downhill, Christians are going to, you know, start being corrupted by this, and we say, oh no, it's not a big deal, we can work with this, we can work with culture, we can adopt their thinking? And now today, if you say, thus says the Lord, you will be quicker to be corrected by a professing Christian than by the world sometimes. I say that not as some sort of smackdown, but today we've got how many, as Rich, you just asked, how many Christians signed the public proclamation to boycott Target so they will financially take a hit, maybe go bankrupt, so that we can get them to change a bathroom policy? But you, 20 years ago, we couldn't get people to say boo when it came to issues regarding schooling, regarding self-esteem, regarding postmodern thinking, regarding the corruption of the gospel. We were trying to get people's attention back then, and that was foundational issues. And now we're dealing with the actual symptoms of the problem, which is now set. The only way, Rich, you've hit it on the head. The only way, in my estimation, that we can deal with this issue is recognize it for what it is, and it's a spiritual one. If you want to see Target go bankrupt, but you are not willing to address the sinful souls behind it, what is your motivation? Rich, you said something in pre-show. I'd like you to say it again about what happened. What would happen even if we accomplished this goal and got Target to change its mind? What was it you said to me?
Honestly, brother, right now I don't remember. You'll have to help me out.
Oh, it's so much fun when we try to remember everything we're doing, and we're doing it live. Okay, you said, what would happen if we managed to get every store, every corporation, every law changed to reflect what we wanted, but not a single soul was changed, not a heart was redeemed for the Lord? What did we accomplish? You remember saying that?
I remember discussing it now, yeah.
I mean, that's the heart of it. Look, what is it we as Christians exist for? To bring glory to our Savior, to our Lord and Creator. We are to glorify Him first and foremost. Existing comfortably in a country that agrees with my worldview is a great thing. Boy, would I love to have that back. Rich, I'm sure you'd love to have it back too.
Oh, yes, I'd love a true Christian nation. And sadly, now that you said that, sadly, more people are interested in seeing a moral nation than they are a truly saved Christian nation. And I think that's what the problem is.
I agree. I think that's why a public boycott of this nature. That's why I tried to define it at the beginning. This kind of public do it my way so that I get the store back that I want and you don't go bankrupt. I don't believe that's a biblical motivation. I believe what it says is I care about having things done my way and I will hurt you financially if you won't do it my way. I believe that is what the world sees. We know that there is an underlying motivation for all of us to have Target change its policy. I get that. But when we announce publicly we're going to boycott you and say happy bankruptcy, we are not addressing a spiritual issue. Rich, you're right. We're just saying we want you to act and look moral. We want you to have at least the veneer of a Christian backdrop. That's it. That's all we're looking for. But if people would do what you suggested and say, we're going to communicate to Target why this is an issue, because we see the error in wisdom, we see the danger involved, and most importantly, we see the sinfulness behind the thinking that says it does not matter how God made you. What matters is what your sinful heart proclaims to you that it feels like today. That's a spiritual issue. And we want to take Scripture. We want to take the gospel. We want to go to Target and we want to say, we care about your souls. We care about what happens to you when all the ledger books are closed, when Target no longer exists as a company, when this earth is destroyed, and you no longer exist in this realm, and you stand before God. That's what we care about. Because God is glorified when he redeems a rotten, vile sinner who says, I don't care what God made, make yourself into whatever you want. If God redeems that, how much glory does he get? You know, I've been taking the time to make my way through Ephesians, and it talks about how God in eternity will demonstrate his glory to the powers and principalities that exist, his kindness in redeeming vile sinners. His glory will forever show in eternity when vile sinners, rebels, and haters of Christ are redeemed. Now, he will also be glorified when he rightly judges sinners and condemns them to hell. But if our concern is to bring glory to God and to see souls saved, are we more concerned about getting a corporation to act morally? Or are we concerned about the hearts behind that corporation and why they're making decisions that are in direct rebellion to the Word of God? I think that's the question we need to be asking ourselves. Rich, we've just got a couple minutes left. With all that in mind, what would you ask the listeners to do with everything we've discussed?
First, like we should approach everything, is to pray about it. And if anything we've said is unbiblical, I would like for them to point it out to us, because I don't want to be teaching any error. But from praying and listening, I would simply just ask that every listener to this show share the gospel, mail a letter or mail a tract to the heads of Target, but more importantly, be sharing the gospel every day with those around you, whether it be leaving a tract at a gas pump or sharing a tract with a coworker or just handing a tract to a stranger, or if you have the opportunity to have a long discussion, share the gospel at least once a day. And that's something that I've kind of been doing on my own through Twitter, is trying to admonish and encourage others to share the gospel at least once a day. Set a goal once a day. And once the biblical habits start and get set in, that gospel once a day will turn into several times a day. But that's what I ask of all Christians that are truly, truly saved, is we need to be engaged in the spiritual battle by sharing the gospel. All the results are left to God, but it's our responsibility to be sharing the gospel.
Amen, brother. Amen. Folks, we hope that last week's episode and this one have challenged you to examine how you are looking at the current social issues we're facing. There is no question that the Christian church, its influence has faded quite a bit in recent years. And there's a lot of things that we can point at to try and try and claim why we're there. I think the primary thing is that God, in his judgment on the United States of America, because what we're watching, I believe, is his judgment. He is lifting his restraining hand a la Romans 1, and he's allowing us to go deeper and deeper into depravity. I think what we're seeing through that judgment is the purging of the true church of Christ. We're watching the true bride start to come out as we watch people who profess Christ, but only so much as it allows them to be comfortable in this culture. I think that's where we're headed. And so we want you to examine what you're saying and doing in these social issues through the lens of the gospel, because you are no greater than your master. And if the world hates us, it hated him first. So the way we approach these things, when it comes down to it, look, Paul told the Romans, everybody here in Caesar's household knows why I'm in prison. There's no question in their mind. So for the Christian, the world should be able to look at us and go, your responses, what you say and do, there's no question in our mind why we either love you or hate you. and it's because of Jesus Christ. So we want you as Christians to reflect the love of Christ in so much as you are absolutely making it clear that the reason you're opposing something or you're standing and being vocal about something is because you care about the fact that this is a spiritual battle and that hearts are on the line and souls are going to face judgment for the decisions they make. And it's either going to be that they've pursued a life of sin and that they are going to be judged rightly before God, or that they've repented and put their faith in Christ, and because of that, they are now redeemed and brought into the family of Christ. That's what we want you to be able to say when you approach an issue like this. If you choose to get involved in a boycott, can you do it in a manner that reflects the gospel and your concern for the lost? Or are you doing it simply to be a loud voice to get somebody to do what you want? Trust me, I get it. I've been on the phone with bill collectors when we're trying to pay the bill, and you have to go up the chain and yell at people and get progressively louder till you get somebody who understands what you're dealing with. And sometimes that's the only way to get a resolution. I get that. And yes, we have freedom, Rich, as you said, to do this, to participate in this manner. But if our primary concern is the glory of God, then I believe anything we engage in that's going to be public like this especially should have the motivation of the gospel at its center. And so that's what we want to address tonight. We hope we've accomplished that. And Rich, you're right. If we are off base, and I mean biblically, theologically speaking, if we're off base, I would like to hear from you. voiceofreasonradio@gmail.com. Please let us know if you think we're off base. But bring Bible verses to bear. Don't bring pragmatism. Don't bring constitutional issues. Bring the Bible, because that's what I want to care about. That's what I hear from you on. If it's going to be, constitutional issues, if it's going to be about winning the country back, if it's going to be about making our country safe and stuff like that, I appreciate your passion. Believe me, I do. I've yelled at the TV plenty enough this election season. But what I want to hear about, and Rich, I think you would agree with me, we want to hear from you on the biblical issues. If we're getting it wrong, we want to hear it because we're not above correction. But that's what we want to do for you tonight. We hope we've accomplished that. Folks, we thank you for this week. Again, thank you for allowing me just an extra day so I could be a part of my nephew's birthday party. We look forward to being back here next week. Rich, I'm going to warn you now. I know I am committed on Friday, so we're going to try and record this on Saturday. I will try to warn you in advance if something else comes up. And if suddenly I try to get recruited for a birthday party, thank you. All right, folks. Thank you so much. We look forward to you being a part of it and sharing this. And please, 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 please don't just like something and just leave it there. If it's been a blessing to you, share it. Put it on your social media feeds, because we have a small number of people that like our Twitter and our Facebook, and so it does slowly get into people's feeds, but it will not get out there and be a blessing to others if we don't have your support. And maybe that's a little bit pragmatic, and I apologize if it sounds that way, but the more you share our pages, the more you share our links, the more likely it's going to pop up in the news feed. We had one person recently, after three episodes, go, "You mean you have a podcast?" It's like, wait a minute. You liked the Facebook page. How did you not know? So, please, 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 please share it. Put it out there. Share it. Get it into other people's ears so they can listen too. But that being said, pray for us as we always ask. And whatever you do this week, make the gospel your focus. Make Christ the center of all that you do. Be a blessing to him. Bring glory to his name. And whatever you do it in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you. God bless you all. We'll see you next week.